Chapter 21. Zara. Crowds of wastelanders gather on the edge of the encampment, their expressions ranging from reverent admiration to exultant delight. Welcoming us back as heroes, their applause greets us as we approach them, the workers we rescued shouting our praises and recounting the story of how we slew the ferocious demon. Wives openly weep as they embrace their husbands, and children reach out to touch us, their fingers grazing our clothing like the fabric itself is some kind of precious material.
"What's going on?" Owen asks,
uncomfortable amid the adoring throng. "They're thanking us," I reply, smiling politely to a woman as she grips both my hands in hers. There are tears in her eyes, and a big smile splits her wrinkled face. "They appreciate our efforts to save their people."
"I've gathered that much," he says,
brushing away the grateful hands of at least 5 other people.
"My question is, why all of this? Before, they couldn't wait to be rid of us. Now it's like we're royalty or something."
I shrug, inching my way through the crowd. "They've probably never seen anyone kill a demon before. The fact that we survived probably makes us seem deific."
Owen grunts.
The lauding continues up to the point where we reach our tent. Owen immediately ducks inside, overwhelmed by the attention, and I kindly bid our admirers farewell, explaining in halting sentences the need for us to rest. Once the flap is closed, both of us drop tiredly onto our sleeping mats, the cool darkness embracing us like an old friend.
"Never a dull moment," Owen says, heaving a long sigh. "Hells, I could use some spiced wine right about now."
I smile wearily. "It could be worse, you know. At least that manticore didn't kill one of us." He winces, looking down at his tattered sleeve.
"It certainly tried."
Remembering his numerous wounds, I scoot over to him, my exhaustion replaced by sudden concern. "Light, Owen. These look awful. Do they hurt?"
"Not terribly," he replies unconvincingly.
"Well, we'll need to get these cleaned up and bound. You're lucky none of these look like they'll need stitches."
"Yeah,"
he mutters. Using our water basin, I help Owen clean his various scrapes and gashes, washing away the dirt and plucking out the broken bits of thorns from his skin. Fortunately, we have some clean cloths the wastelanders had given us, which we tear into strips to use as bandages. Once the wounds are properly taken care of, both of us lie back and rest, overcome by the events of the day. "Hopefully now, the wastelanders will be more forthcoming," I think, trying to get comfortable on the ground. "Now that they've seen that demons can die, maybe they'll be more willing to help us defeat them. I just need to master their sentence structure and figure out the word for fight." Before long, Owen is snoring softly, his chest steadily rising and falling with his breathing. It takes me longer to settle down, but when I finally manage to relax, sleep takes me as well, whisking me away to blissful unconsciousness. We awake to the scent of food cooking, the low light of dusk filtering in through the gaps of our tent flap. I quickly sit up. "Light almighty, we slept almost half the day away." Owen stirs beside me, his voice scratchy from disuse.
"What time is it?"
"Time for us to get up," I reply, pushing myself to my feet and splashing some water on my face. "Light, I can't believe we drifted off for the entire afternoon." He grunts a laugh.
"We're heroes, remember? I think we've earned a little rest. Besides, at least we missed the hottest part of the day."
I give him a flat look. "Come on, get up." He grudgingly complies, wiping the sleep from his eyes and cracking a yawn. It takes us a few minutes to get ready, me slightly longer than him, as we wash away the dust from the day and smooth out our torn and rumpled clothing. When we finally step outside,
The temperature has cooled considerably. We find Kari waiting for us, her hands clasped politely in front of her. "Greetings, Zara," she says softly in her own tongue. "I hope we not disturb you."
"No disturb," I reply, mustering a smile. "Sorry for long sleep."
She frowns, then giggles at how I've butchered her language.
"No need for sorry."
She looks from me to Owen, then back, her smile widening.
"Please follow. We prepared a celebration feast for honor."
I try to catch her last words, but don't quite understand them.
"What's she saying?"
Owen asks, pulling his ranger cloak around his shoulders.
"I think she said something about a feast, or a celebration. I'm not sure."
"A celebration?" he asks. "What for?"
"I don't know."
Turning back to Kari, I ask,
"What feast?"
She gestures to the center of camp and says something else I can't quite make out. Then she departs without another word.
"That's a bit odd," I remark, glancing at Owen and shrugging.
"I don't really care what the feast is for, to be honest. I'm famished."
"Me too," he replies. "Let's go."
Together we follow her to a more crowded section of the encampment, where we're met by an eruption of cheers. I'm surprised to see that most of the camp has gathered to applaud our arrival, hundreds of individuals grinning and clapping loudly. Even the elders are in attendance, though they still wear their usual dour expressions. They, along with a few others, look unhappy at the way we're being treated, but they're few and far between. Most seem elated that we're walking here among them again. I find myself breathless in the face of so much sudden kindness and admiration. As we navigate through the crowd, I catch hints of what others are saying, phrases like, "Thank you, you saved us," and "Please accept our gifts."
"It's like they've grown even more fond of us while we were sleeping."
I nod, smiling at nearly everyone I pass. "Light, I don't think I've ever been treated this way before." Eventually, we reach a large circle of bonfires in the middle of camp, many of the tents having been cleared away to make room for the feast. Baskets of fruit are laid out in excess, along with bushels of flat bread and a wide variety of spices and multicolored sauces. Great pots of grain, made from the crudely forged iron, bubble on beds of coals. And in the center of it all, above the largest of the fires, is the corpse of the manticore, cooking on an enormous spit. Its spines have all been removed, and its flesh sizzles intensely, juices running in great rivulets and dripping into the fire. "By the light," I mutter. Owen lets out a low whistle.
"Now that's a feast."
It's more food than we've seen in weeks, and despite the strange circumstances, it looks absolutely delicious. The wastelanders flood onto the feasting grounds, many of them picking up bowls and offering us food. They laugh and jest with one another, their beaming faces surrounding us on all sides. I glance at Owen, who shrugs. Then I pick up a piece of flatbread, thanking the young woman offering it to me. Dipping it into some sort of red paste, I gingerly take a bite, the spices instantly making my mouth tingle, and not unpleasantly. The crowd cheers again, many chattering excitedly at me as the rest delve fully into the festivities. A handful even pick up musical instruments and begin to play, creating odd, jovial-sounding songs with pipes, strings, and drums. Men in colorful headscarves slice large swaths of meat from the demon's flank and pass them around for everyone to enjoy. Kari leads us to a pair of mats in the middle of the revelry, then departs after inviting us to sit. Others begin giving us massive amounts of food and drink, plates and bowls piling up on all sides of where we're seated. Fruits, breads, mashed grains, Even desserts resembling pies are laid at our feet, brought to us for our eating pleasure. Both of us tear into the food with a fury, neither one of us considering our manners as we sample bits of everything. The food is surprisingly good, and I eat so much that soon my stomach feels like it's about to burst. We continue to feast, watching the people milling about, animatedly interacting with one another as they talk and laugh. Some even begin dancing, moving to the tribal music in a way that would be considered improper back home. Watching them causes me to blush furiously, but I'm unable to look away, my gaze transfixed by their movements. I mask my reddening cheeks by picking up another piece of bread and raising it to my lips, but I forget to eat, mesmerized by the dancing. Our empty bowls are soon taken away, and brown pitchers are brought forward, along with small clay cups, painted with swirling designs. Kari breaks away from the dancing and approaches us. Kneeling on the mat beside me, she offers me one of the cups. "What's this?" I ask in her language, accepting it with both hands. "Kurza," she replies, picking up a pitcher and pouring its contents into my cup. The liquid is clear like water, but it gives off a pungent odor, reminding me of some of the cleaning solutions the stewards would use to scrub the floors at the conclave. "Kurza," I repeat, crinkling my nose. Kari pours herself a cup and downs it in a single gulp, grimacing only slightly, then letting out a mischievous giggle. She motions for me to drink as well, but I hesitate, put off by the powerful stench.
"Whoa," Owen says, sniffing the pitcher. "This stuff is strong."
"You know what this is?" He pours a little into his own cup.
"Some sort of alcohol, I'd wager. Probably made from fermenting the roots I've seen these people eat."
I examine the drink for a few moments, then bring it tentatively to my lips.
"Careful now," Owen warns, the corner of his mouth quirking up. "I don't think this sort of drink is for the faint of heart."
I shoot him a flat look, then quickly dump the entire cup into my mouth. I immediately regret this decision. The kurza burns my throat like mage fire, making my tongue feel numb with its horrendous taste. I force myself to swallow, the foul stuff burning all the way down. I instantly descend into a fit of coughing, my eyes watering profusely, and I double over, worried that I might throw up everything I've just eaten. Owen, like curse him, starts laughing harder than I've ever heard him laugh before. When my ability to speak returns, I give him a nasty glare.
"What's so funny? You think you could do any better?"
He reaches up and wipes a tear from his eye, still chuckling.
"This isn't my first time drinking, Magus. I know that I can do better."
"All right," I say, pointing to his cup. "Prove it." He eyes the drink for a split second, then tosses it back, gulping down the wretched stuff just as Kari had. For a moment, he looks perfectly fine, his eyes regarding me stoically from the other side of the mat. Then his face grows bright red, and it seems that he can't hold it in any longer. He coughs, sputtering, the cup falling from his hands as he struggles to regain control. I laugh so hard that I let out an unladylike snort, which only makes the both of us howl even harder.
"Pour me another cup," Owen says after a moment, wheezing. "I want to try that again."
I pour him some more kurza from the pitcher, then proceed to pour some for myself. For the first time since I can remember, I actually feel like I'm having fun. The Wastelanders watch us curiously as we drink, whispering coyly among themselves, but I pay them little heed. I only care about Owen and me, and the warmth now filling my stomach. The kurza gives me a tingling sensation all over. It tosses aside my inhibitions and makes me feel bubbly and impulsive, emotions I'm not accustomed to feeling. Even Owen seems to relax, his normally stoic demeanor cracking as we lose track of the number of cups we're drinking. After a time, I'm not sure how long, my eyes wander back to the musicians and the dancers. It looks like they're having the time of their lives. "Come on," I say suddenly. "I want to dance." Owen appears alarmed.
"Dance?"
His voice cracks.
"Here? Now?"
"Yes,"
I reply, standing up on wobbly legs. I extend my hand for him to take.
"Or is the great Owen Lund, Ranger's apprentice and slayer of demons, scared of a little music?"
He grimaces, then mutters a curse and takes my hand.
"All right," he says, standing. "Let's get on with it."
Grinning, I pull him over to join the dancers, who immediately make way for us. The music continues unabated, drums beating a steady rhythm that makes me want to move my body to it. Following the lead of the others, I begin to sway, pulling Owen close and placing his hands on my hips. His eyes go wide for a moment, but the music seems to affect him too, making him move in time with the beats, coming up to dance against me. Everything feels so hypnotic. The music, the press of bodies, the tingling sensation running through my veins. And for a time I lose myself, moving and turning with the rhythmic, pulsing sound. Heat flushes through me, and I can feel my ears burning, but I ignore the sensation, feeling Owen's muscled body pressed against mine. He moves, swaying like a tree in a windstorm, and I reach up without thinking, running my hands through his thick mess of hair. More people join the dance, the feasting drawing to a close as time seems to lose all meaning. We move in the heat of the moment, a powerful magic gripping us in its spell. It's as intoxicating as source energy, with a power unlike anything I've ever felt before. The only thing that matters is the here and now, and the wild sense of intimacy between us. Eventually, the music comes to a stop, and the dancing mass grows still, many people groaning their complaints. Breathless, I gaze up at Owen, meeting his forest green eyes and holding his gaze for a long moment. Briefly, it seems like we're staring deep into each other's souls, and our faces inch closer together, my heartbeat quick and eager. We kiss, lips locking intensely as I wrap my arms around his neck, feeling him hold me tight against him, tighter than he's ever held me before. The passion takes hold, threatening to overwhelm us, and by the time we pull away, both of us are breathing heavily, ears ringing from the fervency of it all. He smiles, a crooked anticipatory smile, and I giggle involuntarily, reveling in being so close to him.
"Come with me,"
he says softly, taking my hand and leading me away. By now, much of the crowd has already dispersed, yet a few remain, calling for more music. As we pass the outer ring of fires, the minstrels start back up to the wild cheers of those still there. Wordlessly, we make our way through the maze of tents, the drum beats seeming to urge us on. I feel light, giddy, and more than a little dizzy. As we draw closer to our tent, I can feel my pulse start to quicken, my blood pumping faster than it ever did when we were dancing. Owen pulls open the tent and we step inside, stumbling through the darkness and practically tripping over the blankets on the floor. As the flap closes, near total blackness envelops us, the sound of our breathing the only indicator that we're both still together. Shyly, I reach my hand forward, touching his arm, and he draws toward me. Like moths to a flame, our bodies press against each other, our lips connecting fiercely in the seclusion of the tent. My heart pounds in rhythm with the drums, his scent filling my nose in the most alluring way. I rake my fingers through his hair and can feel his hands moving down the small of my back. Within minutes, we're on the floor, lying amid the blankets with our limbs tightly tangled. Somewhere in the back of my mind, alarm bells start sounding, but I ignore them, wanting to give in to my desire for him the way I had while dancing. As things escalate, however, the alarm bells grow even louder, making them more difficult to ignore. Owen, on the other hand, seems to grow bolder, kissing me forcefully and making his way down my neck, stubble scraping against my tender skin. His hands, now wandering, reach for my sash and begin untying my robes, his movements clumsy in the near-total darkness. This causes the alarm bells to clang so loudly that I can't possibly ignore them any longer. I place a hand on his chest and gently but determinedly push him away.
"What's wrong?" he asks breathlessly. "Is everything all right?"
I nod, despite the fact that we can barely see each other.
"Yes," I reply softly.
"Everything's fine, but I think that we should stop."
"Stop?" he asks.
I can hear the disappointment in his voice. I nod again.
"Owen, I love you. I really do. And there's no doubt in my mind that we're meant for each other. But I think that there needs to be a commitment before we allow things to go any further."
He pauses for a moment, then asks,
"What are you saying?"
I hesitate, trying to choose the right words.
"There needs to be promises or vows made between us, you know? Some sort of real commitment."
He sits up and puts a hand on his head.
"Do you mean like?"
"I don't know what I mean," I reply, now exasperated. Inhaling, I reach up and rest an affectionate hand on his cheek. "I don't want you for just one night or even a few nights. I want you forever. I want to be sure that tonight doesn't become just some fling, or that we're making a mistake from having too much to drink." He seems to consider this, then deflates, letting out a long, drawn-out breath.
"I understand," he says quietly. "I love you too, Zara,"
he trails off, his tone growing resigned.
"Thank you,"
I reply, even more softly. An awkward silence passes. Then Owen abruptly pushes himself to his feet.
"I'm going to go walk around for a bit. Clear my head. Is that all right?"
"Of course," I say, shifting so he can get up. He opens the tent flap, and cool air rushes over me as he steps outside. My thoughts are churning as I wait an indeterminable amount of time for him to return, but he doesn't.
"Probably a good thing, too."
I settle down on the blankets. I doubt I could say no a second time. As I lie back, my heartbeat slows considerably, and I find my eyelids growing heavy. The effects of the kurza seem to be wearing off. Part of me wonders if I did the wrong thing, if I had hurt Owen by pushing him away. No, what I did was right. I'm not that kind of girl, and Owen isn't that kind of man. It was just that blasted drink and that confounded music that made us want to... Well, a small smile crosses my face as I close my eyes. Maybe it wasn't entirely those things. Within minutes, I'm fast asleep, dreaming of dancing and the rhythmic pounding of drums.